And if you have your Bible or your smartphone or however you access God's Word, turn with me over to the book of 2 Samuel. And we're going to begin reading in 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning with the first verse. So 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning with verse number 1. Second Samuel chapter 9, verse number 1. And David, this is King David, and David said, "Is there yet any left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." The king inquires of Ziba, and said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar." And David sent and fetched him out of the house from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face, and he did reverence. And King David said, "Mephibosheth." And he said, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all of the land of Saul, and all of the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And I'm going to stop reading right there. Ask that you just bow your heads and let us pray together and entreat the Lord for his anointing, for his liberty in ministering the word. Father, this morning we are gathered here in your name, and we thank you for the promise that when we gather in your name that you are in our midst. This morning, Heavenly Father, as we have worshiped and as we have sang, we have felt your Holy Spirit, and we are grateful. We are thankful, Father, for the touch of your presence in our heart and in our life. We come now to the reading of your word, and I pray that you would bless the reading of your word, that you would cause the word of God to become alive in our hearts this morning, that you would bring revelation and understanding unto our hearts and our spirit. Lord, I openly confess of my own self, I can do nothing. But I look to you who are my sufficiency. I pray that you would anoint me this morning and let me have liberty to speak and to minister your word. Put your thoughts in my mind, your words in my mouth. I pray above all things, O God, that Jesus Christ will be glorified, that the people of God, through your word, will be edified. And Father, for all of these things, we will give you the praise and we will give you the glory. And we ask them now in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said, amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Living in Lodebar. Living in Lodebar. You may be thinking to yourself, "Pastor Gary, who is this Old Testament character with the strange sounding name, Mephibosheth?" Odd, right? Who was he and what is his history? And this morning as I begin, I want to begin by sharing just some background concerning this young man by the name of Mephibosheth. What his story was and what had transpired in his life. So first of all, let me tell you that he was a prince. He was the grandson of Saul, the very first king of Israel. He was the son of Jonathan. And those of you that are into your Bible and have read your Bible, you will remember that Jonathan and David were the best of friends. They made covenant one with another. In fact, they made covenant that if something happens to me, that you will take care of my posterity. You will look after those who I leave behind. And they made covenant together, and they had a great love for one another. Mephibosheth was the last survivor of the first royal family of Israel. His name is a name of honor. I know it sounds strange, but really his name, Mephibosheth, is a name of honor. It means to exterminate the idols. It means to place God in preeminence and do away with all of the other false idols. And his story this morning is a story, it is a picture of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love for you and I. His story is both one of tragedy and triumph. His story is one of both devastation, amen, and reconciliation. His story is one of tragedy and yet triumph. Let me begin to share with you what I mean. He is only 5 years old when tragically he would be crippled or disabled for life. The Bible declares that in one day he lost his father, he lost his grandfather, and he lost his birthright to the throne. In one day. He lost his grandfather, his father, and he lost his birthright to ascend to the throne of Israel. He was an heir to the throne. If you read in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 4, these are the words that tell us concerning Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 4 says, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass that as she made haste to flee, that she fell and Mephibosheth became lame." Amen. That setting of scripture is telling us that Mephibosheth is only 5 years old when he hears word that his father has passed away. He hears word that not only his father, but that his grandfather has been killed on a battlefield in Jezreel. In those days, when a king had been slain, they would slay all of his posterity. All of his children and his grandchildren would all be destroyed. And so his nurse, the one that had been set over him and the one that would be his protector, the Bible says he's only 5 years old, and his nursemaid picks him up, and she is running from the palace, afraid not only for her life, no doubt, but afraid for Mephibosheth's life. And in her haste, as she fled from the palace and fled from the city of Jerusalem, suddenly somewhere along the way, she dropped him. She allowed him to fall. She let him down. She allowed him to become injured. None of it was his fault. He's only 5 years old. He was nothing more than a frightened little boy, seemingly lost everything without uttering one single word or without even doing one single evil deed. And you may be sitting here this morning and thinking to yourself, Pastor Gary, that doesn't sound fair. I'm here to tell you this morning that life is not fair. If somebody ever told you that life was fair, they told you wrong. Here is a little boy that through no fault of his own, he loses his father. Through no fault of his own, he loses his grandfather. He loses his right to the throne. And in his escape, the one that was supposed to be caring for him and the one that was supposed to be guarding him and the one that was supposed to be holding on to him let him down and dropped him, and he became crippled for life, injured for life. Injured for life. Let me just tell you this morning that there are some things in our life that happen that we have no control over. Hello? Amen. Sometimes there are things that come into our life that are beyond our control. Sometimes there are going to come some things in our life that we're going to have to deal with some circumstances and some situations, amen, that are not even our fault. And that's what happened to Mephibosheth. Something happened to this little boy that was beyond his control. He lost his family to a war that he did not start. He lost his health through no fault of his own. He was disabled and injured by an incident that he did not cause. Stop and think about that for a moment this morning. He would never be what he could have been. He would never be what he could have been. He would never grow up head and shoulders above all of the rest of the men of Israel like his grandfather Saul. He would never run and play in the fields with the children. He would never be able to climb a tree. He would never be able to play with the other kids. He was disfigured for life. Injured. He would never become what he could have been because somebody let him down. Somebody dropped him. Somebody dropped him. Amen. Pastor Gary, what are you getting at this morning? Beloved, let me just tell you this morning that there are people in this world today that have been injured because somebody dropped them. Somebody allowed them to fall. Somebody let them down. Maybe you are sitting here this morning, even in this church service, and somebody has let you fall, and somebody has let you down. Maybe somebody had dropped you along the way, and many have become wounded and deeply injured because of circumstances and situations that were beyond their control. Now stop and think about it for a moment. Mephibosheth's injury was natural. You could see it. It was physical. It was easily detected with the natural eye. But I challenge you this morning to think in the realm of the spirit, and even right here in this body that are gathered here this morning, amen, if our spiritual eyes could be open, we would see different ones that have been spiritually handicapped and spiritually injured and spiritually wounded and who are spiritually broken because someone let them down. Someone dropped them. Someone let them fall. Maybe it was a mother. Maybe it was a father. Maybe it was a pastor that you had confidence in, and they let you down. And they, amen. They let you down, and you were fallen. Amen. You hear what I'm talking about this morning? Maybe it was a brother or sister that said a critical word, and it cut you to the heart. Maybe it was yourself. Maybe you blew it. Maybe you're the one that let your own self down. Amen. When you should have done one thing, you did something else. When you should have said one thing, you said something else. Amen. Maybe you're the one that let your own self down. But the truth of the matter is that some of us have been injured and wounded, and we are hurting here this morning. Life's tests come, and we failed the test. When the pressure was on, maybe we let ourselves down and we ourselves cracked. When we should have done one thing, we did something else. When we should have said one thing, we said something else. It really doesn't matter who dropped us. Amen, or who let us down, but the fact of the matter is that some of us here this morning are carrying around the remains of a broken heart. We are carrying the scars of a crippling fall. We are living with the scars of a broken heart and living with the wounded spirit, living with the memories of a past failure. Amen, we are here this morning and we are spiritually handicapped. Amen. And that handicap is keeping us from becoming all that God desires for us to be. When we should be here, we're here. When God is wanting to put us on top, our handicap makes sure that we are beneath. When God is wanting to make us the head, our handicap ensures that we are the tail. Hello? Amen. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? We have become a spiritual Mephibosheth. A picture of a man who should have been one place and ended up somewhere else. All because someone dropped him. If you're honest with yourself, amen, how many of you have been let down? How many of you have been injured? How many of you have been wounded? How many of you have been dropped and scarred spiritually? And that scar remains, and it keeps you from becoming everything that God desires for you to be. Let me just tell you this morning that God's plan is to make us kings and priests of the earth. God's plan, amen, is to make us kings and priests of the earth. God's plan is to raise us up to sit with Him in heavenly places and walk in authority and walk in forgiveness and walk in mercy and walk in grace and walk in the strength of His power and in the power of His might. God desires for us to be free from our handicaps and our disabilities. God does not want us crippled by the memories of our past. God does not want us crippled by the mistakes of our past. He does not want us to become a prisoner to our past. Listen to me for a moment this morning. God does not want us to become a prisoner to our past. Maybe you have been injured. Maybe you have been scarred. Let me just give you some good advice from the Apostle Paul this morning. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12, Paul said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. In verse number 13, he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Amen. But he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I pray press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, put the past in the past and put it under the blood and get up and keep marching forward with God. Amen, amen, amen. Keep moving forward for the Lord. Don't become wounded and cause, or let that wound cause you to become unable to move forward. Put it under the blood of Jesus Christ and move on with your life. Move on with your life. Instead of living in the palace, Mephibosheth is living in Lodebar. Living in Lodebar. Lodebar means, in the original Hebrew, Lodebar means no word, no communication. Lo means no. Debar means word, no word. No word, no communication. And for 16 years, he lives as a recluse. He lives as a recluse, withdrawn and away from the presence of the king. He lives away from the palace in a land where nobody goes on purpose. No contact with the king. He feels unworthy, unuseful, useless, and broken. But one day King David said, "Hey, is there not any of the house of Saul left? I remember the covenant that I made with Jonathan, my friend. I remember the covenant that I made with Jonathan that I would take care of his children if something should happen to him." And David says, "Hey, is there not any of the household of Saul left?" And someone comes to him and says, "There is a son. There is a child. There is a young man, Jonathan's son." How many of you know when that word got into David's spirit, no doubt he perked up. "Hey, wait a minute. I remember making a covenant with Jonathan." Amen. So where is he? He's in Lodebar. No word. No communication. 16 years he's been away. And the king said, "I need him now." Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just tell you something this morning. I remember when I was away from the king and there was no word of the Holy Spirit in my life. But I remember the day that he called me out of Lodebar to bring me all the way to the palace. Amen, amen. He says, "Where is he?" He's over in Lodebar. And the king began to call for him and said, I need you to bring Mephibosheth unto me." And somebody must have said, "Well, listen, he's broken. That's all right. I don't mind that he's broken. I'm going to fix him up." Amen. "Yeah, but he's wounded. That's all right. I don't mind if he's been wounded. I'm going to bring him under my table. That's all right if he's been injured. That's all right if he's been hurt. You bring him to me and I'll take care of him." Amen. The king called for Mephibosheth. Amen. The king called for him. The king said, "Listen, Mephibosheth, I don't need you all the way over there where I can't have any fellowship with you. I don't need you all the way over there in Lodebar where we can't become good friends and have a relationship. I don't need you all the way over there in Lodebar where I can't bless you. I want to bring you right up close. I want to bring you into my house. I want to bring you over here so I can feed you. I want to bring you over here so I can be a provider. I want to bring you over here so I can bring you salvation. I want to bring you to me so I can bring you into a place where I can meet your needs." Amen. What I came to tell you this morning is you may feel like Mephibosheth. You may feel like you are unworthy. And you may feel like you are useless. And you may feel like you have been wounded. And some of your dreams have been broken. But I'm here to tell you right now, the king is calling for you. And the king is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. And you shall find rest unto your soul. Glory, glory to God. Amen. So David says, listen, Ziba. Ziba is a picture of the Holy Spirit. He said, listen, Ziba, I want you to go get him. I want you to go get him. Tell him the king is calling for him. Ziba makes his way to Lodibar. Mephibosheth, when he heard the words of the king, Mephibosheth, even though he was called, he could not come on his own. Hello? He could not come on his own. Someone had to go and get him. Let me just tell you this morning, church, the same is true with you and I. We may hear the master's call. We may hear the voice of the Spirit saying, come. We may hear his voice calling us to sit with him in heavenly places. But oftentimes we, amen, in our brokenness and in our disability and in our wounded state, we may hear the call, but we can't make it on our own. Hello? Amen. Ziba is sent. The king is calling, but Mephibosheth couldn't make it on his own. He couldn't make it by himself. Amen. And let me just tell you, there are times when we hear the Spirit of the Lord calling our hearts and our lives, and he's calling us to come and be with him, but we are so distracted and so crippled by our own flesh and our own abilities that we may hear his voice, but somehow or another we can't seem to get up. Amen. You may be here this morning and saying, Pastor Gary, I hear the Lord calling me and I want to go, but I can't make it on my own. Maybe you're here this morning and you would be willing to say, I've tried to overcome my handicap. I've tried to overcome my spiritual disability. I've tried to overcome the memories of a broken heart. I've tried to overcome, amen, this bitterness that's trying to take root in my spirit. I'm trying to overcome this anger. I'm trying to overcome this lust, this secret sin, but I cannot make it on my own. I got some good news for you this morning. You don't have to make it on your own. God will send the power of the Holy Ghost right where you are, right in the middle of your mess, to pick you up and carry you all the way from Lodibar to the very presence of the king. Hallelujah. Amen. Somewhere when you say, God help me, somewhere between God and help me, the Holy Ghost will show up. Amen. Somewhere between Lord, I want to go, right between Lord and I want to go, the Holy Ghost will show up and say, I'm here to help. I'm here to carry you all the way to the presence of the Lord. Amen. The anointing of God will show up and the anointing will make a way where there seems to be no way. Picture it in your mind. Picture it in your mind this morning. Ziba shows up at Mephibosheth's place of residence and said, the king is calling for you. Mephibosheth, he looks at Ziba and says, I want to go. I want to honor the king, but I can't make it on my own. My ankles won't support me. I can't make it. I've been dropped, I've been wounded, I've been hurt. Somebody let me fall. Ziba said, listen, you hang on to my hand. You get a hold of my hand and I'll help you get there. You take a hold of my hand and I'll carry you to the presence of the King. I won't let you fall. I won't let you fall. I know you're weak, amen, but I won't let you fall. I'll help you to make it. Amen. Let me just tell you, that's what the Holy Spirit does in our life. He comes along and meets us at the point of our wounded heart. And he says, son, daughter, I know you've been wounded. I know you've been injured, but just take a hold of my hand. I won't let you fall. I'll uphold you. Amen. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10 says these words, fear thou not. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Hey, God ain't going to let you fall. Oh, hallelujah. Paul said these words. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, God said these words to Paul, my grace is sufficient, and in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. In other words, he's not going to let you fall. All we have to do is be willing to go. Be willing to arise and say, take me to the King. Amen. I know I've been hurt. I know I've been wounded. And I got some spiritual scars. But oh, Holy Ghost, if you'll help me get to the King, I know he'll provide for me all that I need. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will take a hold of our hand. He comes alongside to enable. He comes alongside to guide and to lead and to instruct. He comes alongside to take us to the King. Mephibosheth is carried into the presence of the King. Now, stop and think about what this moment must have been like. David, in David's heart, he has made a covenant with Jonathan. And he has found someone of the house of Saul to keep that covenant with. David is anticipating this moment with great anticipation. He is looking forward to showering Mephibosheth with all kinds of good things. Mephibosheth may have been a little apprehensive. I may get in the presence of this King and he may lob my head off because I'm the last one of the house of Saul. Customarily, they would have done away with him. He comes into the presence of the King and he bows, amen, before the King. And David says to him his first words, verse number 7, fear not. Don't be afraid. I haven't brought you here to do evil unto you. I haven't brought you here to do some kind of wicked deed in your life. I've brought you here to bless you. Fear not, he says, for I will surely show thee kindness. Everything that Mephibosheth had lost was restored back to him. David says, and I will give you all of the land of Saul your father, and not only that, you'll eat bread at my table continually. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you everything that you need. Some of us, when we are in Lodibar, away from the Lord and away from communication from the Lord, and we allow our spirit to become cold and we are wounded and hurt and we are away from God and there is no communication and no relationship, amen, we feel like we are unworthy and unuseful and broken and weary, and all the King is wanting to do is bring us close to Him so that He can bless us. Mephibosheth looks at David in verse number 8 and he says, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog?" What he was saying was, "I'm not worthy to be in your presence. In my brokenness, in my injury, in my unworthy condition, I'm not worthy to be in your presence." And David says to him, this is not King James or really any other translation, but this is a white, loose white translation. David says, "Oh, you don't get it. Oh, you don't understand. I'm not doing this because you're something special. This don't have anything to do with you. No, you don't understand. I'm not doing this because you earned it. I'm not doing this because you're good enough to get it. No, this is not because of you. This is because of a covenant that I made with Jonathan." What does that mean for us? Let me just tell you, you cannot earn your salvation. You can't be good enough to receive your salvation. It doesn't come by anything that we did. It's simply by the grace and the mercy of God and a covenant that He made at the cross with His Son, Jesus Christ. Doesn't have nothing to do with us. It's only by the cross God the Father made a covenant with God the Son. And God the Son went to Calvary's cross and laid down His life and shed His blood to pay the price for the remission of our sins. And when we come to the King, we may feel unworthy, and we may feel like we are useless, and we may feel like we are wounded and injured. But He says, "Listen, fear not. I'm going to bless your life. I have some good things in restore. I have some good things in store for you. I'm going to restore everything that you lost. I'm going to restore all of the land of Saul. I'm going to give you back everything that the devil took from you." Amen. Could somebody hear what I'm talking about? I'm going to give you back your joy. I'm going to give you back your peace of mind. I'm going to give you back a spring in your step. I'm going to give you life and that more abundant. I'm going to write your name in the land. Lamb's book of life. I know you were distant from it, but I'm going to call you my daughter. I'm going to call you my son, and you're going to become my child." "But Lord, I'm not worthy of any of that." And I can almost see him look down and say, "You got that right. You're right." He said, "But it ain't anything you did. It's because of a covenant that I made with my son, Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross at Calvary." Amen. Let me just share with you this morning that God made a covenant with Christ to redeem us from our sin. If you are here this morning and you have been living in Lodibar, a place away from God with no communication, afraid and feeling unworthy and useless and scarred and broken, let me tell you, Ziba is on his way to talk to you right now. The King is calling you. He wants you to come. And you say, "But Pastor Gary, I can't make it on my own." You don't have to. The Holy Spirit will help you. Amen. Go all the way from Lodibar to the very presence of the King. And He's calling you not to do do you evil, but he's calling you to do something good in your life and to restore what the enemy has taken away, not because of what we can do, but because of what Christ Jesus has already done. All we have to do this morning is reach out and take a hold of the hand of the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is say, Lord, I want to go. I want to come. I want to go to the presence of the King. I'm tired of this place called Lodibar. I'm tired of this. No relationship, no communication. I'm tired of these hurtful memories and this hurtful past. And I'm tired of all of the brokenness. Carry me to the King. Carry me to the King. And when we have a willing heart and a willing spirit, then the Holy Spirit will bring us into the presence of the Lord. Bow your heads, please. I came to tell you this morning that even though you have been wounded, even though you have been hurt, even though you have been dropped and someone let you down, I came to tell you, you can make it. I came to tell you, you can still make it. I came to tell you this morning that you're not useless. I came to tell you this morning that you, amen, through Christ are worthy. I came to tell you this morning that God has a balm that'll heal that scar. I came to tell you this morning that you can still make it. Reach out and touch the hand of the Lord. Reach out and get a hold of the hand of the Holy Spirit and let him take you all the way to the King's table, where he will feed your weary soul, where he will restore and make all things new. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you, oh God, for this man called Mephibosheth, who is such a shining example of God's grace and God's mercy and God's love for us. I thank you, Lord, that even though we have been wounded and marred and we may be broken and we may be injured and crippled and wounded and handicapped spiritually, that there is a Holy Spirit that calls and comes to bring us to the King. I thank you, O God, for the covenant that you made with your Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem man unto yourself, that your thoughts toward us are good and not evil. That, Lord, when we say, I want to go, the Holy Spirit enables us and carries us into the presence of the King. I pray this morning, Lord, that, amen, the words of this message will simply touch the hearts of the hearers. That if there are those that are injured, that are here in this service or listening by way of the internet, that, Father, they will feel the call of the King. And that as they reach out to the Holy Spirit, that you will grab a hold of their hand and draw them into the presence of the Master. Let your will be accomplished in my life. Let your will be accomplished in their life. Let Christ be exalted, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Are you here this morning? And you would say, Pastor Gary, I'm the one with a wounded heart that you were talking about. I'm the one with a wounded spirit. I'm the one that was dropped. And I've allowed that wounded heart, I've allowed those scars to keep me from becoming everything that I could be for God. Are you here? You'd slip up your hand and say, that's me. I see your hand and your hand and your hand and your hand. Anyone else? God sees your hand in yours. Amen. Maybe you're just here this morning and you'd be willing to slip up a hand and say, Lord, take me to the King. Take me to the King. Amen. Yes. Hands there, 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 and there, and there, and there, and there. Take me to the presence of the King. Lord, bring renewal and refreshing in my heart. Lord, bring renewal and refreshing in my spirit. Set me under the table of the King and feed me. Jesus, feed me. Make all things new. Amen. Stand to your feet all over the building. Stand to your feet all over the building. Slip both hands right up toward heaven. Slip both hands right up toward heaven. Why, Pastor Gary? That's just a sign of surrender. Slip your hand right up toward heaven. Say, Jesus, I surrender everything to you. I hear the call of the King. And Lord, all I can tell you is I want to go. I can't make it in my own strength. I can't make it in my own ability. I'm broken and I'm wounded and I'm hurt. And I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. But allow your Holy Spirit to grab a hold of my hands. Latch on to me and never let go. Oh, Holy Spirit, draw me. Draw me into the presence of the Lord. Draw me into the presence of the healer. Draw me into the presence of the Redeemer. Draw me into the presence of the one, amen, that can provide all of my need. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, all my need. May I find rest in my Savior. Amen. Lord, I pray for these that are here this morning with their hands lifted high. Let your presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit destroy every yoke of bondage, destroy every disability, destroy every wounded heart. Oh, God, bring healing and health and reviving to their soul. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask it.